But we thank Stony Brook for joining us today. Gino, Andre, thank you for being part of our Media Day teleconference.
No, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You know, Gino, after the semifinals last year, we were up at the dais in DC for the post-game press conference, and I gave some stat about how the seventh place team had made the final once before, and you kind of just looked at me and said, you know, it's a little different league now. And it is, because for you guys to be as strong as you were as the seven seed down the stretch last year, what does that say about the parity and the strength of the league?
Well, I think the league parity is evident January, February, but then you get to March and you go to those tournament games, and you know we all know as coaches this to be true. We could have replayed the exact bracket the next week, and I don't think that maybe 50 to 60% of the games would have gone the same way. So many of those games, not just ours, but other teams, were close with 4 minutes to go, could have gone either way, and it comes down to one or two players being able to make a big play. And the league's expanded. I mean, you're talking about 14 teams, so to finish in the upper half, you got to be pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of hard places to play in our league, and I've now been in four non-BCS leagues or non-Power Four, whatever we want to call them, and the parity in this league is better than all of them that I've been in. And I just a lot of good coaches, a lot of really good players, but the venues are can be hard to play in on the road, and so I think all those reasons is why you see so many upsets at the tournament.
You know, Andre, for you with everything last year and just the excitement on campus, the excitement just in the community, what did that do for the program to kind of have that buzz around the program last spring that goes into this fall?
I think it uplifted the program a lot. Just even coming back from the championship game that we lost last year, the buzz when going to class and stuff like that, like the professors just saying what a great job we did, the grade of the year we had, and even home court this year, like well last year, all the games were pretty much packed, filled up. UNCW game was packed, a lot of conference games, the Hofstra game, of course. Like, I think on campus, a lot of people, they take pride in coming to game, football games, basketball games, whatever it is, and just showing their support. And I think that helps us play better on the court.
Going to get to questions here and start with Brian. Brian, go ahead.
Sorry. Gino, good to see you this morning. You had probably the biggest team in the CAA last season. I know the makeup of the roster is a little different this year. Just how does that affect the way that y'all hope to play on both ends?
Brian, you're going to want to punch me in the face. Can you say that again one more time? I apologize. I couldn't make all that out.
I'm sorry. You had one of the biggest teams in the CAA last season, which certainly, and you played to those strengths. A little bit different roster makeup this year. How does that affect the way that you are going to play on each end of the court?
Yeah, I apologize. That was on my end. But yeah, we're a much different team. Last year, we were one of the biggest teams, and we did play multiple big guys. And like we said, for a guard, I don't think there's a guard in our league that has the size and physicality that the guy that's sitting next to me has. So we weren't just tall, we were strong. And so, this year's team's built a little different. We have more shooting than we've had in the past. We're a better passing team than we've been in the past. But we don't have the 7 foot size. Ben White's had a really, really good preseason for us, and he was a very good player at William and Mary for 2 years in this league. But he's 6'8", 6'9". So we're giving up a few inches on the front court. But hopefully we can make up for it with our strength and our shooting. So it will be much different.
Trevor.
Coach Ford, you talked about how the roster changed over, but you guys had an incredible run last year with the differences in teams of in the two teams as we've addressed. But is there anything you learned, like a lesson that came from just that title run that you guys had last year?
Well, I think what it just kind of reinforced, to be honest, Trevor, what coaches always say and believe. If I have to police the locker room and I have to set the standard of effort and accountability, the team probably is going to struggle. And we had such great leadership. I mean, Tyler Stevenson Moore, and in particular was here 5 years and so invested into what we were doing. Chris Mido was only here for a year, and he was just as invested in what we were doing. So, you know, when you have all these seniors and the upperclassmen, like, you know, and I'll mention Dre, because, you know, we had juniors that had played other places and had success and just wanted to win. Didn't come in like, hey, I need the ball in this specific spot, or I want this, I want that. It was never about individuals last year for our team. And as a coach, that's what you always hope for, and that's what you talk about to the team. But ultimately, the guys go home and are by themselves, and they have to make a decision about what's most important. And so it was so gratifying because, you know, as a coach, you just don't get those special runs all the time. And it was a group that deserved it. And sometimes you win and you have guys that maybe don't deserve to win. They just happen to be good at basketball. That team last year we had was, you know, in my mind, I know we didn't get to hoist a trophy, and that's gut-wrenching, but that was as championship a performance that you could ever have. I mean, you're talking about we had 12 of the 13 guys over a 3-0. I didn't have one off-the-court incident hit my desk when we lost. Guys looked internal, blamed themselves, came into gym, got to work. I didn't have guys coming in my office sitting asking about shots or minutes or any of that stuff. And so honestly, you know, what I learned was that what I thought was true does lead to winning. Now, how do we replicate that? Because obviously there are 14 schools in the league going to try to do the exact same thing.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks.
Anthony and then Jaden.
Hey guys. So obviously it's been touched on with some of the big roster turnover. Tell me about some of those JUCO additions, how they can counter some of your losses, and what's the expectations heading into this season?
Well, you know, we're really happy with the guys we added. I mean, CJ Luster is a high-level shooter, shot 48% from three in junior college, took over 200. He can get you off the dribble a little bit, but he is an elite shooter and can cut and shoot. He doesn't have to just be spotted up. Nick Woodard, we're really excited about. Nick's got big size. You know, he's a big bodied guy at 6'7" and a couple hundred pounds that can get in the lane and he can shoot threes. And then Jeremiah Nyarko, our other junior college addition, had actually signed at Arizona State. He's relatively new to basketball. He's only played organized basketball, you know, 3-4 years, handful of years. Was at San Diego with Coach Lavin, and has a chance as he figures out the, you know, our system and those kind of things to really be impactful for us. So we need all of those new guys. You know, I said it on the Field of 68 thing. We lost a lot of points, rebounds, and assists. So you can't win with intangibles. It's great to be a good guy. It's great to be a hard worker. It's great to be a good teammate. Somebody's got to put the darn thing in the basket. Somebody's got to go get a rebound in traffic. Somebody's got to make an assist. So those are the kind of things that I think are key. But I really feel those three new guys can give us some firepower.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jaden, last one.
Hey, Gino, how are you?
I'm great, Jaden. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you. For you and for Andre, in this landscape now, to have a 5-year guy is seemingly unheard of. But what did Tyler teach you guys, Gino, for you as a coach, and Andre, for you as a teammate, that you guys can bring forward with you this year with a younger, a much newer team that you can mold together? What teaching moments, what lessons can you take from the legacy that he left?
Well, I think Tyler, the biggest thing with Tyler, and our relationship grew as the season went on. And I actually knew him prior to Stony Brook because we played AAU a little bit with Rising Stars from Long Island. So I was familiar with Tyler a lot. But my biggest thing that I think that he taught me is just his competitive spirit. No matter what happened, good, if he's having a good game, bad game, like, we can always count on Tyler last year to just go out and compete. Like, he's over there guarding the best player every night. If he's like, he's scoring the ball at a high clip, he's talking, he's doing everything that a leader can do. So I think what he taught me, especially for my senior year, is just leading the team vocally by example, but also just being able to compete every night, no matter what's given to me.
Yeah. And I mean, to piggyback on that, I would just say this, and I could go for 2 hours about Tyler. If I was to, you know, come up with the ideal player, I don't know that I've ever had a guy that was any more competitive. I don't know I've had anybody that was higher character. I don't know if I've had anybody who was so accountable to himself and his team. When we lost, he never, ever, ever pointed fingers. And I'll say this, you know, as players, it can be tricky because you always think the coach is doing playing this guy or giving the ball to that guy. Go back and look. We DNP'd Tyler multiple times in his career. DNP'd him as a third-year guy at Kansas. He didn't get in the game. And instead of sulking and pouting and maybe transferring or whatever, you know what he did the next day? He was in the gym before practice getting shots with coaches, and he came in to watch film of the game that he didn't even get in and wanted to see guys at his position. You don't get that. And I have not gotten that. And I don't think many of us have. And I think that if I, you know, if I were to just be honest, like the loss of Tyler, yes, we'll miss the points. Yes, we'll miss the fact that he guarded the other team's best player, but I think Dre hit it on the head with his competitive spirit of it didn't matter if we were down 12, up 6, and he didn't play great every night. I mean, go you can go running box scores, but his attitude was great every night. And, you know, so that's why he'll be so missed by the coaches. I looked at him like one of the coaches. He was obviously scoring and doing things, but he was helping keep things on the right track. And when things were going poorly, he was the one that could rally the troops. So, you know, Dre, obviously we feel very confident can step into that role and has a lot of those characteristics himself. And hopefully, you know, as he said, could take some of it and put it in and make himself even a better leader. But you know, I miss Tyler every day of practice, and I'm sure as heck going to miss him at 8 p.m. at Marquette because he was a hell of a player.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Have a great season.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Gino, Andre, thank you for joining us this morning. Good luck in that season opener at Marquette, FS1 game.